All right, if you have your Bibles, did I miss anything? I'm always real nervous when my wife stands at the back door like this. Because when I come to my back door and she's like this, there's a problem. And so, obviously not because she left. So, amen. So if you have your Bibles, turn with me to the book of Mark, chapter 10. Mark, chapter 10. Hallelujah. Mark, chapter 10. Last week, I started a three-week series on the topic or the idea that position makes the difference. The position makes the difference. And as you remember, I told a story about when I took my son hunting. One time we had this deer stand and we had this limb and it would be in the way. And in order to get a good shot, you had to move a little bit to position so the limb wouldn't go in front of the scope and wouldn't when the wind blew. And you know, what changed was position. The deer were there, and the limb was still there, and we didn't cut that limb. It's still there, and we were still in the stand and still had the same gun and still had the same scope. Nothing changed but position. I don't know about you, but I came with this body, and it's developed into things over time that are a little different than what I pictured. But it's the same me, same body, same God, doing the same thing, but sometimes in life we have to reposition ourselves for what God wants to do in our lives. And if we're not careful, we'll get comfortable with the position and say, well, I really didn't want to shoot the deer anyway. I was tired of cleaning the deer, so I'll just let it walk on by. Some of us do that about God, with God and God's word. I don't really want to read his word, and I'll just let that go on by. In about 3 months, you're spiritually starved to death. Sometimes you have to reposition. Remember last week in Acts chapter 10, you don't have to turn, I'll give you a recap. But in Acts chapter 10, we talked about how Cornelius, the forgotten forerunner of the gospel to the Gentiles, but Cornelius had a vision, and he had in this vision that he was to go send some people to find Peter in another town in Joppa. And so he has this vision, but it was unique. In about verse 4 or 5, the Bible says that Cornelius had been praying and given alms, and that they had, and the Lord had remembered his prayer, and he was pleased. Now, this is Cornelius. We really don't think of Cornelius as being a player in the Bible. But he's praying about the ninth hour on a day. The same day in Joppa, Peter is praying about the sixth hour. Oh, did I mention that Peter's hungry? When we get hungry, prayer's off. We're done. You ever been praying and that hunger pain comes and say, I must be done. And Peter's praying and he's hungry, but he goes on to prayer time anyway. He's positioned himself. And he goes to prayer and he sees the vision of the sheets coming down and all the animals in it, the four-footed, the clean and the unclean. And you know, he's hungry. Did I tell you he's hungry? Y'all gonna be hungry before we get out today. You're already hungry. And he's hungry and he sees all these animals and the Lord tells him to get up and eat. And he says, no, I don't want to eat, Lord. You know, I'm religious. I'm with you, God. I'm not going to eat. And the Lord says, Peter, what I've cleaned is clean. Don't call it unclean. Don't call it common. What I've given you is good to eat. Y'all remember what I told you? What I got out of that right there last week is we get to eat bacon. Come on, somebody. Praise God. How many likes a good stuffed pork chop?
Yes.
How many of you had pork tenderloin last night? I had last night. The last thing I did before I went to bed was had one more bite. It was so good. Do you hear me? It was so good. And I thought about Peter. Thank you, Peter, for listening to the Lord. Peter heard from the Lord, and guess what? Peter went on to meet with Cornelius because Cornelius' vision was to go find Peter so that Peter could come talk to the Gentiles because Cornelius was a Roman. He was a Gentile. He was unclean. Peter even makes a statement there. He says, you know, I'm not supposed to be even in your country. I'm sure not supposed to be in your house. But, you know, because I am of God and you're not. See, the devil wants you to think sometimes you're unclean and God's not going to show up at your house. God's not going to show up in your life. And, you know, all that bad stuff. You've been that way all your life. You know what? Cornelius had been that way all of his life. He was a Gentile from the beginning. He was a Roman from the Gentile. He was unclean from the beginning according to godly standards or the church. Well, guess what happened? He met God. He met God and things began to change. When he got to talking to God and God laid it on his heart and Peter comes to his house and Peter preaches the gospel. First time to the Gentiles. That's an amen moment for y'all if y'all don't know. You're a Gentile, probably everybody in the room pretty much. You're a Gentile. And the gospel got preached to the Gentiles and it started a revolution in the Gentiles that they can be the same as the Jew. In other words, they were grafted in, if you will, right at that moment. Now the Gentiles can be saved. If you read the latter part of Acts chapter 10, it says, Peter gets back to his folks and he said, well, I guess they can get saved too. I guess they can, they're like us, huh? Uh-huh. I like that part because I don't have to be unclean. And so, but they had to position, both Peter and Cornelius had to position themselves before Cornelius was visited by the angel of the Lord. He positioned himself in prayer and giving of alms. Before Peter saw the vision of the sheets, he was praying. He had a practice of praying and getting in communication with God prior to the vision. I'm here to tell you, God's not going to give you a vision. If you think you've got a vision from God and you hadn't been communicating with him, it's of the devil. Come on, somebody. He's not giving you a vision if you're not communicating with him. You're going to be confused in where the source is. So you have to position yourself to receive from God. If you're not willing to position yourself, please don't try to talk God into giving you something. Please don't go around trying to tell us that God spoke to you when you're not speaking to him. Oh, he'll speak to you. But it'll be about that heathen lifestyle you've been living. I love you. You can leave here upset, mad, but it won't be at me. Take it up with the Lord. Amen. All right. Position. The definition of position simply means this: an act of placing or arranging. You have to sometimes position things. My wife, we hung pictures. Can I pick on you? Amen. Glory. Isn't she? I mean, she's awesome. Now, I just want you to know what I go through for y'all. I do this, and she gets on to me at home. But I love you so much. So we're hanging pictures. The kids got me some pictures for Christmas. And it's like five pictures this wide, this tall. And it was my best Christmas present. My best Christmas present, I think, ever. You know what it was? It was me and my kids and my grandkids with pictures of life. Life at home, life on the farm, life here, life there, just life. And everyone's got, there's five pictures. So cool. Made me tear up at Christmas. Love it. So I decided that I was going to hang these pictures after she told me we was going to hang pictures. So we're going to hang these pictures on the back wall. In my mind, Woody, I know where they need to go. So me and my carpenter skills, I start measuring the wall. Here's the center. We're going to do this. This is going to look great. Man, I'm doing my thing. Got my level out. It's going to be perfect. I get everything up there, and I get in to hang the first one. She says, move the couch out, huh? We're hanging a picture. Move the couch out. So I move the couch out. Get the couch moved out. I go over there. The pictures hadn't moved. The picture did not move. I moved the couch. So I'm looking, and I'm looking now. She's looking, and I'm looking. We're looking, thinking, well, that thing's not moving. She says, I think it needs to go up some. Well, how much? Because I done measured from the floor to the top. I'm getting. It's what we carpenters do. We measure. We get the points. We measure. And I'm thinking, that ain't right. It needs to go right there. We'll pull off from here and put two on this side, two on this side. We got five. Equal distance, 2 inches in between. I mean, I got this figured out in my head. She says, that's not right. I'm thinking to myself, Silas, you did not open my mouth. It is right. But it wasn't right. So we slide the couch back. She says, it needs to go up a couple inches. It's going to be off. Okay. You know what we did? It went up 2 inches. I removed the nail, struck all of knowledge of carpentry, Rusty, out of my mind. Boom. I don't know anything. I don't know how to measure. Don't know how to read a tape. It's right there. That's where she wants it. You know why she wants it? She said, because it's too low. The grandkids might knock it off the wall. It's only about that high above the couch. I only have one grandkid that can't touch it yet. You follow where I'm going? See, her repositioning didn't make any sense to me. Oh, I'm going somewhere with this story. It seems to be funny, but if you'll look for God, he's everywhere in your life, if you'll let him be. And so it didn't make sense to me. Symmetrically, it was not correct. The grandkids not being able to touch it was incorrect. I got one that can reach the top of it. On the couch, on the back. I'm just glad we got a couch for them to get on. Because with that one, we ain't gonna have one long. And it nothing's right. It doesn't numerically, symmetrically, it doesn't fit. It's not supposed to work. It's all out of whack. I don't understand it because numbers don't lie. But when I hung all of them at her wishes and they're level and they're 2 inches apart, 3.75 on this end of the picture and 3.75 on this end to the wall. Come on, somebody. It didn't look right to me, and it didn't feel right, and it didn't work out in my head the way it's supposed to work out. But when we pushed the couch back and I got it all up there, I stood there and almost cried because it looked so good, not because where we positioned it, but because what it was in, why we positioned what we did. We positioned pictures that brought back memories and love, and I see my kids and my family growing, and that's what we were trying to get capture, not how high it was or how wide it was or how far from the ceiling. We were capturing the moments that we pictured, that we caught on camera. And see, sometimes God in your life, You can't figure it out. It doesn't make sense to you. It doesn't measure up. It's not right. It just don't work. And you just get all confused. You say, well, just the heck with it. And I'm not going to do it, because I did tell her that's why I didn't want to hang pictures with her. Come on, somebody. If you've ever hung a picture with your wife, you know what I'm talking about. Why don't you want to hang pictures with me? Because I love you and I don't want to fight. Did that not happen? This is why I don't like hanging pictures with you, darling. But see, if you'll go ahead and not quit. See, if I'd have quit, the pictures would still be sitting on the floor over where they were when I picked them up. But because I didn't quit on it, I fought past the things that was aggravating me, and I fought past the idea that I couldn't figure it out. I got to enjoy the reason the pictures was made in the beginning. What did I have to do? I had to reposition my thoughts and the process the way I wanted it. Come on, this is big. And I had to reposition the way I thought it ought to be and the way I wanted it. After all, they gave the pictures to me, not you. Come on, somebody. You do this in your own life. They gave them to me, not you. And she said, uh-huh, but it's my wall. You want to hang your pictures on my wall, we're going to hang them this way. Guess what? When it's all said and done, I'll move on. When it was all said and done, I still got to enjoy the very reason that the pictures were made in the beginning. If you'll let God be God in your life, it may not make sense to you. You may have to reposition outside of your, watch this, outside of your theological foolishness, outside of your theological tradition, outside of the way grandma and grandma's grandma had done it, outside of the way, well, that's the way we do it in church, and reposition the way you think about God and what he wants to do in your life and what he wants to do in other people's life when they don't measure up to the standards because they didn't meet the measurements that you thought they ought to before we put them in a class teaching. They hadn't been saved quite long enough. You know, they hadn't got this and they don't even know any theology. Well, praise God. They ain't hung up in our theology. Let's get hung up in Jesus, what Jesus wants us to do. We got so many people want to go around and tell us what the Bible means. And this is what I know. Jesus said that I come not to be served, but to serve. That I come that all men should be saved. Why don't we get busy about his business? Amen. If we can get busy about his business, then we might start a committee. A building committee. Then we'd split the church. So I'm talking about, look, I'm still on point. Positioning makes the difference. The position makes the difference. Come on, somebody say, position makes the difference. Let's do it this way. Say, I need to reposition. Come on. All right, so let's look in the scriptures. I just gave you one part of the definition of position. Preach that long. That's pretty good, huh? Whew. Well, let me give you the rest of the definition. So it's an act of placing or arranging. It's a point of view adopted and held to make. It's a point of view adopted and held to. That sounds religious. That got religion wrote all over it to me. To make my position on an issue clear. Oh, praise God. We ain't got no problem doing that. Everybody wants to make their position clear as to why they believe it. But they don't really know why they believe it. Can I tell you a story real quick? Thank you, I will. So some of you may have heard this story. If you've heard it, you say, oh, that is the first time I've ever heard that story. So there was this mom, and she was cooking a roast, pot roast, big roast. And she gets it up to the and she cuts the end of the roast off, puts it aside. Little girl's watching. Mama, why don't you cut the end of the roast off? Well, I don't know. Mama did it. After dinner, mom's thinking about this, and well, let me call mom. Mom, why don't we cut the end of the roast off? Because mom did it. Well, that gets grandma thinking. Calls up, mom, why don't we cut the end of the roast? I know there's got to be some significant secret to make it taste better. Something's because you did it, and I've done it, and daughter's doing it, and granddaughter's asking questions. There's got to be something great, some family recipe secret. She said, oh, no. No, see, we were so poor growing up that the roast wouldn't fit in the pan. We had to cut the end off to get it in there. Sounds crazy, doesn't it? We do that because someone else did it. We need to reposition. In Mark chapter 10, hallelujah. Did we review? Yes, we did. In Mark chapter 10, verse 46 through 52, the word of God says this. Now, when it's talking about they came, we're talking about Jesus, a multitude, some people. The setting is that Jesus is leaving Jericho. He's going to Jerusalem because in a few days, he's going to be crucified. This is where we're at. We're right before that. We're the week before, right in there, okay? And so what I'm telling you is this. Jesus had to accomplish a task, but he took time to be repositioned on the way to touch somebody. Watch scripture. Now, they came to Jericho. As he went out of Jericho with his disciples and a great multitude, he had some folks with him. Blind Bartimaeus, the son of Timaeus, sat by the road begging. You get the picture? They're going down the road. We got a blind man right over here named Bartimaeus. His mom and them didn't like him. They named him Bartimaeus. And so Bartimaeus is sitting by the side of the road, and he's blind. He's begging. We don't want beggars in the house. Think about it. If we set a beggar out up under the first person through the doors would run to the pastor and say, we got a beggar outside. He don't need to be sitting there. He's going to scare off people. If we got a beggar sitting at that door, he ought to leave here the richest beggar ever come to the house. You ought to have a giving heart. You ought to be able to give to him. Oh, I'm sorry. You need to reposition. Man, if he wanted money, he can get him a job. I ain't giving to him. Work for his money like I work for my money. Oh, I'm with you up to a point on that. But if God says you to empty your wallet on the guy that's signing at the corner, you better get to emptying your wallet, because your next blessing may be because of you doing what he says. Do you understand that your blessing doesn't come what he does with your money? It comes with what you do with your money, with God's money that he's given you. Has nothing to do with the other end of it. One of these days I'll tell you a story about that. Verse 47, it says, and when he had heard that it was Jesus of Nazareth, so blind Bartimaeus hears that this in this entourage, this thing, that there's this guy named Jesus, and he knows Jesus of Nazareth. He's been around. You know, you got keen hearing if you can't see it. He's heard about this Jesus of Nazareth, and he said he began to cry out and say, Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me. That right there repositioned all people in that little crowd. That just messed them up. How does he know he's the son of David? Has he been reading something? Because he's blind. How did he know that? Come on. He called him by a name that no one had called him yet by, unless it was prophetic. He said, Son of David. He acknowledged that there was something that he was after that man possessed and he needed. And he says, verse 48, then many, I like to put in my Bible, then church folk warned him to be quiet. But he cried out all the more, Son of David, have mercy on me. See, this is what's cool about this. He didn't really care about your theological position. Obviously, the people that had been walking by him that were religious had not been able to help his blindness because of their theological position. Because of their religious antics, he was still blind. So he could care less about your stuff. Let me tell you something. This is a news flash. You need to hear me, all of you. The world doesn't care about your theological position. The world is hurting and they need someone to fix them. And we need to present to them a Jesus that can fix them. Well, praise the Lord. I thought you'd do better. Verse 49. No, look at it back in verse 48. So he cries out all the more. He's not worried about what you think or I think, what the religious people, even, you know, the disciples were with him, right? Them folks that was right close to God. You know, that you couldn't get, you know, Woody showed up the other day at the shop and he had an entourage. I couldn't get close to Woody because he had all them folks around him. He had an entourage. He was a man. I made my way to him though. I cried out, Woody, come talk to him now. Look here. A lot of times the church circle will keep you from getting into where you need to be next to God. Lord, don't let that be our church. Don't let that be our church. And he said this, he acknowledged, Son of David, have mercy on me. He wasn't concerned about the surroundings. He said, I need your mercy. He acknowledged it was him. If we can just get people to acknowledge that you got the problem and I don't. In one of the statements I use when people come to my office, I said, I want you to understand this. When you leave here, it's still your problem. I didn't have it when you came in. I'm taking it, letting you take it with you when you leave. Come on, somebody. Verse 49, so Jesus stood still and commanded him to be called. This is funny. Then they called the blind man, didn't even call him by his name, but they called the blind man saying to him, be of good cheer, rise, he is calling you. You know, in my mind, things play out when I read the Bible. And I got these 12, 15, 1800 people around, whatever's around Jesus, and they're telling me, shut up, man, shut up, shut up. You know, like you do a kid, shut up when I get you to the car. Be quiet, dude. Jesus, he doesn't need to be interrupted by your stuff. You got little problems. He's not interested in your stuff. He's got better things to do than talk to a blind man. Because, you know, you're not all complete. Well, hello. I'm looking at a bunch of incomplete people in this room. Come on. If you hadn't found one, when you get home, you get in front of that full-length mirror, you'll see one. And he says, and Jesus stopped. Uh-oh. Jesus stopped. Did you hear what I said? He stood still. He's on the way to cross for humanity, and he repositioned what he was doing, his focus at the moment, to touch someone on the way to the cross. And he said, call him forth. Now I can imagine all the little minions, the disciples. Oh, he wants to see you now. Come on up. You're up, man. It's you. Come on. And they're all around saying, yes, yes, man, you're the man. Patting him on the back. You're the man. God calling. Jesus calling you up. I can see the disciples saying this. I knew it. When we were walking up here, I had a vision. He was going to call the man up, but I didn't say nothing. But I just knew it. I knew he was going to call it. And he all trying to get into glory. Stop your foolishness. Because here's what happens. No matter who's around you, this is what I know. Bartimaeus had to do the crying out and the calling. Bartimaeus had to recognize that he needed God's mercy. And it was Bartimaeus who had to stand in front of the living Christ and tell him what he needed. Watch what Scripture says. In verse 50. And throwing aside his garment, this is Bartimaeus, and he threw aside his garment, he rose and he came to Jesus. So Jesus answered and said to him, what do you want me to do for you? Y'all need to read the Bible like I read the Bible, I'm telling you. It's Jesus. He has the power to heal him. What do you want me to do? Oh, that sounds funny, doesn't it? Oh, I know people in church that got problems, but they don't want God to heal them of them. They want him to get on the sympathy list. They want him to give them a pat on the back and say, it's going to be open. I want you to stay there so you can always get attention. Because if Jesus healed some of your problems, what would you do with the rest of your time? Some of you are going to be mad because you don't get letters every week from someone in the church and text and calls. They don't love me anymore. I'm going to quit that church. Was you really here anyway? Come on, somebody. I love you. I'm just preaching what's on my heart. He threw aside his garment. He ran to Jesus. And Jesus answered and said, what do you want me to do for you? And the blind man said to him, Rabboni, that I might receive my sight. Now look, he didn't tell Jesus what his problem was because Jesus didn't know. Here's my point in that. Jesus already knows what you have need of before you ask. That's what Scripture tells us. So if he already knows, then in our minds, because our position is theological, why I got to tell him? Well, do you want to be healed? Do you want to be set free? Do you want to be delivered? Do you want to carry that stronghold on? Some of you got strongholds in your life and you done give it a pet name. It ain't going anywhere. Some of you done got a collar on it, put a leash to it and say, well, I'm going to take it wherever I want. This is, what do you call them animals? That they take on planes, not sightseeing dogs. Support, emotional support animals. Come on now. Alligators are not emotional support animals. They definitely make you emotional, but they're not emotional support animals. Jesus can. He doesn't ask you what you need of. You need to bring your petitions to him in prayer and say, Lord, this is what's going on in my life. Hey, don't try to lie to God. For years, I don't know if I'd call it lying because I'm religious. I would tell God kind of what I wanted him to know so that he kind of work on that. But he's like, if you just tell me everything, just tell me what's in your heart, what's on your heart. I already know it. Somehow we get saved and we think God doesn't know everything about our heart. He knew everything that's in your heart before you got saved. Romans 5:8 says that while you were a sinner, he commended. In other words, he pushed his love. He threw his love towards you while you were a sinner. He knows. And so when you get saved and you're going through things, look, go to him and say, Lord, I'm really aggravated at such and such. And that person, I don't like God. I have a problem with them. You know what we do, though? I'm finna be real. Lord, I need a sign. If I'm right, let all the church be on my team. Let everybody in the church be on my side, and we'll all go against them. And that way, that'll be a sign. You need to be saved. You need to be saved. See, Bartimaeus, he didn't care that the disciples didn't want him to talk, and then all of a sudden they're on his team. He said, Lord, I'm blind, and I need to be fixed. It was about Bartimaeus. Jesus called Bartimaeus. He wasn't concerned about the disciples. Bartimaeus said, oh, I'm up next. Well, here's what I got. Since you ask, Lord, I'm blind. I feel like you know, but I'm blind. I can't see a thing. Church folks would go, really? I just want to make sure. No, they're not saved. They're blind. They're spiritually dead. They're going to hell. And we want to make sure that they're spiritually blind and spiritually dead. No, if they say they're dead, they're dead. Right. Where's the church going to come around and say, are you dead? You want to live? You want a life? Well, I can help you with that. Let me lead you in the Lord's, in the sinner's prayer. Come on, somebody. This is better than your amen and me. He says, Rabboni, that I might receive my sight in verse 52. And I'm fixing to close. If I can have the pianist, whoever that might be. I don't know. Is she in here? She would pay. Oh, I thought you was going to get up and come on, Cole. I'm good with that. Verse 52. It's okay to have fun in the house of God. See, some of you religious folks just left. Well, he was preaching good, and well, then it's gone. No, he didn't leave. You left. He's still here. I feel him. I sense him. He's still here. Come on, somebody. Gonna get a witness. In verse 52. Then Jesus said to him, go your way. Your faith has made you well. Now watch this. And immediately, when my daddy said, right now, that was code for immediately. That means you're a minute late already, and I just told you right now. Immediately means right now. And immediately he received his sight, and he followed Jesus on the road. Now, I've done a little research on him following Jesus about Bartimaeus. And the two or three commentaries that I read said, this, again, was about a week or so, a few days before going to the cross. And it is said by the theologian Clark I forget the other guy's name. You wouldn't know him because I don't know him either. But it says that when he got healed, he followed Jesus to the day of his death. Not of Bartimaeus' death, but of Jesus' death. He followed him till he was no longer able to be physically followed. Watch what else happens in verse 52. Then Jesus said to him, go your way. Your faith has made you well. Jesus didn't need him to follow him. Come on, somebody. Jesus didn't need anybody else in the entourage. He already had a crowd. The Bible said he had a great multitude. Jesus wasn't saying, now I want you to be right around me because I'm going to need some emotional support in a week. I'm going to need you to prop me up in a week because I'm fixing to die on a cross of gruesome death. No, you know what he said? Because his position was correct, he said, your faith Because he didn't know to call Jesus of Nazareth the son of David unless he had been studying some scripture. He didn't know that unless he had been listening to some biblical teachers. Somewhere he recognized that this Jesus of Nazareth is the same son of David, and this son of David has been prophesied to be the savior of the world. And he understood Isaiah 53 when it says that by his stripes I'm healed in advance. Guess what? Now this is theologically going to mess you up. In advance of the stripes on the cross, Jesus had the ability and the power to heal. Come on, somebody. Take your theology and I like it when Peter says it this way, by your stripes we were. Go your way. Your faith has made you well. He was positioned to receive from God or Jesus before Jesus physically showed up in front of him. Come on, position makes the difference. Position at your house, the position of reading your Bible, position also means to take up the idea and hold fast to it. Some of you need to take the position, I'm going to read my Bible every day if I don't eat. If your television and your eating get in the way of God's word, one of them needs to go. Preferably the boob tube. Reposition yourselves in order to hear from God. Position makes the difference, I guarantee it. See, in verse 52, it says, go your way, your faith has made you well. Here's what church folks do. Well, they didn't put any oil on me. And you know, the Bible says that they're supposed to anoint me with oil. And I didn't see any deacons and elders come up and pray for me. So this must not be of God. Well, go on, you old blind man. You want to stay blind, you stay blind. You see what I'm saying? I know what Scripture tells us, and I'm not going contrary to Scripture. What I'm telling you is if you'll position yourself, say, look, if you ain't got any oil, because right now oil is just a symbolic thing for us. There's no healing in the oil. Oil represents the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is right here, right now. You can't see him. I can't see him, but I sense him. I know he's here. And so we have to reposition our thought process to say, well, God, if you're God and you can do anything, all I need is you. What do you want to do in my life? You want to heal me? And when God heals you, go and do what God's called us to do, because you won't be able to physically go follow a physical Jesus on this earth because he ain't here. Okay. Jesus isn't here physically. So like blind Bartimaeus, he got up and followed him for the next 6 or 7 days. And I don't know what he did. I got this idea though, because the Bible doesn't tell us. But I got this idea that he was so excited about what Jesus had done to his eyes. I think maybe he started a healing ministry. I think maybe he said, you know what, I ran into this guy. His name's Jesus of Nazareth. He's not here, but he said in his scripture that if he goes away, that he's going to send the comforter, and he's here with us. It's not me, but I want you to know that if you got a problem, I know this guy, and I can pray for you, and I can lay my hands on you, and I can call for the elders of the church, and I can anoint you with oil, and you can be healed. Come on, that's the Jesus we serve. You know what I think? I think of this church, because this is the only one I pastor. I may not pastor it after today, but this is the only one I'm pastoring. But if this church would say, Lord, I'm just going to follow you. Jesus, I'm going to follow you. I'm going to follow you against the grain of the world and society. I'm going to reposition myself that I will follow you and that I will be in line to receive whatever you have. It'd be a game changer. I said it would be a game changer. Let me just make it brief. It'd be a game changer for Lake Village, Arkansas. Oh, can I go further? if you reposition yourself to follow Christ, it's first going to be a game changer in your house. I just need all the daddies to get blood bought, born again, saved, on fire for God, and say, Gene, what do you want to do in my life? Because daddies, you got influence. When daddies get saved and they get right, guess what? They start bringing their family to God, because God made you the priest of the house. Not for a wife to be submissive to him, but to walk alongside with him and say, hey, here, this house is going to work. We're going to church. Are you mad? Well, I'm okay with that. Come on, we're going to church. Get the kids in the car. Get the kids in the car. In Jesus' name, we're going to church today. And then we're going to show up on Wednesday, and we're going to shock the snots out of the pastor. You'll be the talk of the church for the next week if you start coming on Wednesdays. Everybody will be talking about it. That's what you want, isn't it? We got plenty of food. We'll feed you. And immediately he received his sight and followed Jesus. I want some immediatelys to start happening in this house. I don't know if you've noticed or not, I've had the news cut on, but we don't have much time. We're in an immediate situation. We're immediately needing people to get saved. We're immediately needing the church to get right with God. We're immediately needing moms and dads to say, I don't care what's going on, we're going to the house of the Lord. I don't care what's going on, we're going to read the Bible tonight. We're going to cut off all of the little cartoons and all of that stuff, and we're going to start reading God's word, because I'm here to tell you, church, that Christ is coming back for a blood-bought, born-again child of God, one without spot and without blemish and without wrinkle. And I'm telling you that he won't change the rules because of who you are, your last name, or how much money you got in the bank, or how influential you are in this community. God's word is God's word, and you better get right with God, and you better get on fire for God, because he's coming back for a child of the King. Come on, somebody, give him praise in this house. I'm ready for the church to get saved and get on fire for God. Will you stand with me across this building? I know I've run over 2 minutes, but that ain't never bothered me before today, and it ain't bothered me today. I don't even know how I want to end this service, because I ain't talked to the Lord about it. I wasn't sure we was going to get this far. I didn't know if y'all was going to fire me before we got to this part of the service or not. This is what I know, David. God's done a work in your life, sir, that you'll never forget. You can go crazy tomorrow, go back to doing what you've been doing, what you was doing, but you'll never forget what God's done in your life. But I'm here to tell you, you're not going to do that. You had an immediate experience with God. God's opened your eyes. Don't let religious folks close them again. Come on, somebody. That's a word for you, sir. That's a word. Ralph, I'm ready for immediately that foot to be healed. Not as bad as you are, but immediately. Come on, we walk around with these infirmities and these afflictions and people struggling and coming to this church for a year and they don't even know if they're saved yet or not. What is wrong with us? It's not God. Remember the positioning I told you about, the limb, and we were in a stand and nothing changed but the position? Maybe when people come to this house, they won't be able to stay in here but a week or two. And the convicting power, Donnie, of the Holy Ghost, that thing you prayed for when you started the church. You know, the first time we had service here, the first time that God used you, the first time that God reached out and said, Donnie, I'll use you if you'll yield to me. That's what I'm talking about, the immediate. Have we lost our first love, church? Have we lost that passion that God's word says he'll heal you and he can heal you? That God's word says he'll break every stronghold? Have we lost the passion that when God's word says where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom? And I'm telling you, the Spirit of the Lord is here. The Spirit of the Lord is here. And so is your bondage and so is your stronghold. But I'm telling you that God is greater than any addiction. God is greater than any stronghold. God is greater than any anger problem. I'm here to tell you, ask my wife, he's greater. If you'll say yes, Lord, Yes, Lord. Sometimes he'll do it just like that, Mike. Sometimes it'll happen and it'll happen right now. And sometimes you'll get up every morning and you'll get up today and you'll say, I won't be angry today. I won't be angry today. I'm going to stay married today. I'm going to stay in love with Jesus today. Every day you're going to have to get up and make up your mind. But I'm here to tell you that it is worth it, friend. It is worth it. It is worth it. It is worth it. It is worth it. But you got to position yourself, because he won't move you one bit if you don't want to.
That's right.
Pastor, how are we going to close the service? How you want to close it? I think we ought to close it like this. If you got something in your life, Woody, will you move this right over there for me, please? If you got something in your life and you say, Lord, I need to reposition me. Hey, don't. I want you to pray for the person next to you. I want you to talk to you, okay? I want you to do a self-check and say, now, God, this is between me and you. This is not between me and the person that's hurt me. This is not between me and my problem. Lord, this is between me and you, and I got to get some things off of my spiritual chest. So, God, what I need you to do is, Lord, I'm going to come to you, and, Lord, you need to fix me. I'm blind Bartimaeus. What do you need? Well, he already knows. I need to be where I can see. If that's you, I want you to come. I want you to start making your way. If that's you, come right now. I want you to start coming. Come on, start coming if that's you. Look, this room ought to be full, this altar. Come on, if that's you, I want you to start coming right now. Make an altar right here where you can. Make an altar. Come on, come on, come on, come on, come on. I'm telling you, the Holy Spirit's moving right now. Cry out to God. He's here. The Holy Spirit is here right now. He's here right now. He's here right now, ready to meet. He is in the multitude, but he knows what your need is. He understands where you are. He knows your every problem. He knows your every struggle. I need some men. Come on, men. You've been praying. I need some men right up here behind all these men right now. I want you to come. Come on, men. If you're saved, get up here. I need you to help. I need you to help pray. Women, I need some women up here behind some of these women that are praying. Come on. You may not be struggling with something today, but you might be tomorrow. Y'all come on up here. Come on, ladies. Can you come up here and help me pray? I know y'all know how to pray. Come on. Y'all know how to pray. Just find somebody and pray for them. Just begin to pray for them. Lay your hands on them. It's all right. Lay your hands on them and begin to pray for them. Begin to pray. Begin to ask God. Begin to ask God to move on their behalf right now in the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. Find, I need you. Come on over here somewhere. There's somebody needs prayer. Hallelujah. Come on, men, pray. I need you praying like it's your life on the line, like it's your struggle, like it's your stronghold. Father, in the name of Jesus, Lord, I pray, God, that you'd move in our lives. Lord, you'd open up our spiritual eyes to see, God. Lord, what needs to be done in our lives, Lord? Let us be honest and let us be truthful, God. Oh, God, you already know. You already know, God. Lord, let us be truthful with ourselves and with you, God. Lord, I thank you. Father, I thank you for what you're doing in this family right here, God. Oh, God, restoration, God. Lord, of things, God, that may have went awry somewhere in the past, but God, you are the way maker, God. You're the fixer of broken hearts, God. Lord, you're the mender, God. And I pray in the name of Jesus, Lord, every stronghold, every struggle, God. Lord, you'd move upon their lives right now, God, and you'd deliver it from them. Oh, in the name of Jesus, in the name of Jesus, Lord, I pray, Father, oh, that you would move, Lord. Oh, in this brother's life right now, God, let us see ourselves, God. Lord, in a different position with you, God, that we may yearn for you in the morning, God. Lord, that we may struggle, God, when we don't pray and when we don't read our word, that we struggle, God, to make it through the day. God, put a burden on us, Lord. Put a burden on us, God. Lord, to worship you and to serve you and to seek you, God. Oh, Father, you know our struggles. You know our heart, God. Lord, you can, God. You can if we're willing, God. You can if we're willing, God. You can, Lord. Break every stronghold in the mighty name of Jesus. Oh, God, let those walls begin to fall in her life right now. Don't let every piece of brick and mortar that the devil has tried to erect in her life and around her to seclude her. I pray in the name of Jesus, Lord, like the walls of Jericho begin to fall down, Lord, as they begin to dissipate, God, and turn to rubble. I pray in the name of Jesus, Lord, you touch her right now, God. Oh, God, touch her and move on her right now, Father. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Father, right now, every struggle, every stronghold, God, let it break down now in the name of Jesus. Lord, let our desire to serve you and love you and worship you and live for you be greater than our desire for the things of the world. God, let our desire and our want to, God, get right with you today, God. Lord, not only our spirit, God, but our want to, God. Oh, Father, I thank you for what you're doing in their lives. What you're doing right now, God, I'm believing for a miracle. I'm believing that her faith sets her free, that her faith will make her whole. Oh, God, right now, Lord, we ask you in the name of Jesus. Lord, show us and lead us and guide us, Lord. Oh, Father, we thank you, God. We thank you, God. Lord, we thank you. Lord, we thank you. Come on, somebody, begin to thank him. Come on, lift your hands across this building. Begin to thank him for what he's doing. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Come on, somebody. The Spirit of the Lord is in this house. Let's give a victory shout to the Lord. Just raise your hands and say, thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord, for victories. Thank you, Lord, for breaking strongholds. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Oh, God, I'm believing for this group of people, Lord. Lord, I'm believing, Lord, that you're going to do great and mighty things in this house. But, God, I know it's going to start in our own houses. It's got to start in our house. I thank you, Father. Father, I pray against every religious spirit in this house that tries to enter this house, that is currently in this house. I pray against that religious spirit to say, I don't think it's done that away. The Word of God says that we can bind up those things. So by prayer, we bind those up in like bundles of sheaves, you would see, wrapped up and ready for to be cast out, ready to be burned. That religious spirit, that spirit of pride, spirit of arrogance, disguises itself as a religious spirit. Ooh, come on, Holy Ghost. Come on, Holy Ghost. Come on, Holy Ghost. Whoo. Every Jezebel spirit. Every Jezebel spirit that tries to rise up against what God wants to do. Not what man wants to do, what God wants to do. We bind that up in a heap. We loose the spirit of the living God to do what you want to do in our lives, to do what you want to do in this church. Lord, have your way. Lord, let us not just make it a statement of prayer, but Lord, no, we mean have your way. We mean have your way in our hearts and in this church. Because God, I understand if you have your way in my heart, you'll have your way in the church, because it's us that make up the church. It's not the building. So God, if you will, just have your way. Let us have enough sense, Lord, to know that when we're in the way, we need to get out of the way. We need to reposition so that you can be in front and you can get the glory that you deserve. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. Whoo! Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Whoo! I feel the Holy Ghost. Whoo! I feel the Holy Ghost. Come on, God. Thank you, Jesus. Oh, thank you, Jesus. Thank you for letting me get up this morning, Lord. That I could come and experience you like I am right now, Lord. Thank you. Lord, let us not take it for granted. Oh, it's not just another church service. It's just not another meeting. Lord, the Holy Spirit is here with us. Thank you. Ooh. Thank you, Lord. Oh, thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. You deserve the glory and the honor and the praise. You deserve the glory and the honor and the praise. We worship you in this house, Lord. Oh, we worship you in this house, Lord. Have your way, God. Have your way, God. Since our children are here in this room with us, I want every child that we can come with your parent. I want you to come up here. I am sick and tired of the devil trying to get our kids. I want you to bring your kids up to the balcony. I'm going to give you a minute. I want you to come down. This is what I want to. If we can, let's do this because we're going to run out of space. Can the daddies bring the children? Can the daddies, Ralph, I get you, you're good. You can't stand long, I get it. Bring you up a chair and sit down there, buddy. Come on, you got grandparents, but I want the dads because dads have more influence. Come on, somebody. Now, if you're a single mom, you bring your child up here. If you're a single mom, you get up here. You're in that role. You bring the child up here. If you're a single mom or you're the only parent here today, you bring them up here. You bring them up here. Don't hesitate. Don't listen to that old crazy spirit says, "Man, I'm not a man. I'm." We know that. Praise God, you ain't. Yeah, thank you, Father. Ooh, you got a good looking family right here, David. God been good to you. Thank you. Can I use it? Did I need to use it? Come on, somebody. Mike, can I get you to come down? David, I need you to come on down here. I need some. Come on, let these dads. Y'all come on in here a little bit. Come on right up here, Jessica. Get right over here. You're the prettiest man I've seen. Come on. Let's make room. Come on, make room. Hey, these chairs are moving. We have to shove them back. Come on, I need some. Bobby, I need you to come up here. Donnie, I need you to come on up here. I need some Mark and Van, y'all come on down. Y'all come up here. We got to be praying for some of these. Y'all may not have family here, but I can use you men to help pray. Come on, somebody. Come on, somebody. Hey, the enemy's after your kids. The enemy's after your child, and he hasn't even made his entrance yet. It's called abortion. See, you already took that first step. That ain't going to be an option. But he's after your child. He's after your children, Jacob. He's after this young man right here. He's after this beautiful young lady right here and these fine young men. He's after them. He's not stopping. Rusty, he's after your boys. You know what he wants to do? John 10:10, he wants to kill, steal, and destroy. That's what he wants to do. If you're confused about what the devil wants to do to your kids, there it is, John 10:10. He wants to kill, steal, and destroy. He wants to mess your family up on drugs. He wants to get them. He wants to kidnap them. He wants to destroy them in their minds. That's what he wants to do. Don't make a mistake about it. If you make a mistake about it, shame on you. I'm telling you. He wants your kids, David. He wants these fine young children you got right here. He wants them. You know what he wants to do? Oh, you got the upper hand. Yeah. You know what he wants to do to them? What he tried to do to you. Come on, somebody. But he didn't win. He didn't win. So that's what, you stand in the gap. This young man right here, he wants to kill him, steal him, steal from him, destroy him, wants to steal his mind. He wants to get him into all kind of confusion. Come on, that's what he wants. Woo. Come on, men, you ought to be praying. Mamas, you ought to be praying for your children right now. I'm talking about, look, lay your hands on her. Oh, this precious baby. How old is this baby right here? 2 months. I mean, 2 months and the eighth, on the eighth. Oh, my gosh. This is a miracle. This is a gift from God. You want to see a gift from God? Look right here in these little, look right here at this little baby. That's a gift from God. And anything that comes from God, listen to your pastor. Anything that comes from God, the devil wants to steal it and kill it and destroy it. That's what his plan is. If God gave you a gift, the devil wants to take it from you. Don't let him take your kids. Over my dead body will you have my kids. You can't even cut my tongue out and keep me from praying. I pray in my mind. Come on, somebody. You pray over your children. I'm going to be praying. We're going to start praying. Daddies and mamas, I want you to put your hands on them. I want you to begin to pray for them. You know what they go through already. You already know kind of the struggles in some of their lives and what they could be faced with. And Bobby, I want you to lay your hands on some of them beautiful babies right there. I want you to begin to pray with them, just all those kids right there. Men, I want you to work in. Let some of our men that don't have children, I need you to work in here. Hey, be pushy. Come on, we're talking about a life, a soul. We're talking about a kid. Be pushy. Get around here. Push up. Come on, brother. Get up right there. And be pushy and say, I'm going to move the devil out. Son, come on up here. I'm going to lay hands on my boy. Come on. In the name of Jesus, come on, begin to pray right now in the name of Jesus. Begin to pray right now for your babies. Begin to pray. Nick, pray for them babies. God wants to kill them and steal and destroy from you. He wants to. Don't let him, Nick. Stand in the gap. Stand in the car. Stand in the gap. You got that young boy right over there. Stand in the gap, Carl. Don't let the devil have him. No matter what, don't give up. Father, in the name of Jesus, Lord, I pray for every father in this house, every father and every mother. Lord, I pray right now, Lord, God, that you would just minister to them, Lord. Lord, let our daddies not grow faint. Let our mamas not grow faint right now. Oh, God, let them stay the course. Let them stay the course. Let them... Let them be focused, God. Let them be focused. Stay focused, God. Stay focused, Clint. Stay focused, Clint. Marissa, stay focused. Stay focused. Stay focused. Woo. Jim, stay focused. Stay focused. Stay focused. Don't lose focus. Don't lose focus. Don't lose focus right here. Don't lose focus. Mary Ashley, don't lose focus. Don't lose focus. Don't lose focus. Greg, don't lose focus. He's after your babies. Cody's after him. He's after sweet Lily. Don't lose focus, sir. Don't lose focus over these precious babies. Don't lose focus, sir. Their ears are a gift from God. Listen to me, sir. They're a gift from God. God has entrusted you with these beautiful angels right here to nurture them, not only physically and give them the things and that they need, but to give them spiritual needs as well, and to nurture them right there. Because all of this stuff that you see one of these days, this old body is as husky as you are, one of these days this body will die. All of the stuff you've accomplished will go away. Oh, but what you plant in the heart of the babies, what you plant in your heart, sir, will live forever and ever and ever and ever, and it'll never die. It'll never die. It'll never die. It'll never die. Oh, God, right now, Father, in the name of Jesus, in the name of Jesus, in the name of Jesus, you can't have our babies, devil. We're serving notice on you. We're serving notice on you today. You can't have our babies. You can't have our babies. David, don't let them have your babies. Bryson, don't let them have your babies. Stand in the gap. You already know. Stand in the gap for these babies. No matter where you go, stand in the gap. Don't lose focus. Don't lose heart. Don't grow weary. Don't grow weary. Don't grow weary. Don't grow weary. Cooper, don't worry about it, son. Papa's already got you covered. Hallelujah. 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 Kim, don't lose heart. Don't lose heart. Don't lose focus. Don't lose focus. Don't lose focus. Come on, families, don't lose focus. It's your babies that are at stake. I hope we never have to counsel another child because the devil has got him on drugs or got him into suicidal thoughts or mental disparity. I pray in the name of Jesus. God, protect our babies. Hunter, don't lose focus. Hunter, don't lose focus with my babies. Don't lose focus. Don't lose focus. Woo, I feel the Holy Ghost. I feel the Holy Ghost. He's mad. I'm telling you, he's mad at you. He's going to be mad at your pastor. He's going to be mad at you when you leave here for staying so long. He's going to be mad. Buck up to him. Put out your chest and say, greater is he that is in me than he is in this world. Woo! Hallelujah. Shotarabakata. Dekotarabahata. Etorabahasata. Thank you, Lord. Boy, I'm... Woo, I run laps, brother. You hear me? You don't want me to run much. Woo. Dana, the Lord's not through with you yet. He just ain't through. It's what I know about God, Dana. I need you to listen. What I know about God, when he calls you to something, when he calls you, he doesn't move it. We may move from him, may run off like shot rabbits, but I'm telling you, he ain't done with you yet. All this junk in your life, you say, my God, how can he? I don't know. It's kind of like me putting them pictures up. It don't make sense to me, but I ain't got the one to make sense out of it. And you don't try to make sense out of it. You just know God can. Amen? Come on, somebody give him praise, for God's going to do something. God's going to do something. Hallelujah. You can make your way back to your seat. Hey, thank y'all for coming up here. I'm telling you, it sounds like, well, it's just another trip to the altar. No, sir. It wasn't another trip to the altar. It was another trip standing in the gap for something God gave you to take care of anyway. Amen. Hallelujah. I didn't even plan on going 12:29. I think we'll stay at 12:30 just because. Amen. I'm going to bless you. Love you. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I say hallelujah. That's kind of universal in South Arkansas. I say yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Love you, Jesus. Let me bless you. Hey, I need some. Where's Jacob? I need some men. How many of y'all like to bless people? Okay, we got 2, 3. Okay, how many? 4, 5, 6. Can I get more? If I was an auctioneer, we'd get it. I need about 1, 2, 6, 7 men to stick up behind Jacob. go to the back door because I don't want to run out on you. Go to the back door. Now, Jacob, I want you to follow Jacob. You're going to go upstairs in a minute. John, since you're up there, just stay up there. I'm going to let you bless somebody. And Mike and you young strapping men right here, right over here. If you look, and I need some more. We're going to bless. This church going to bless. You know, there's a new Hispanic minister going in the old Dollar General. And part of that ministry, because our Hispanic pastor moved to Ohio, I encourage them to merge with them and get in with them, because I don't speak Spanish. I speak Holy Ghost and I speak in tongues, but I don't speak Spanish. And so it was best for them to move and migrate with them. And they've been working over there in this church. We've had some about four or five old speakers and a soundboard and stuff. And I met with that pastor Saturday and they don't have anything. They ain't got nothing but Jesus and a lot of hope and excitement. So guess what we're going to do as a church? We're going to give them some of this stuff that we've been storing for 2 years, what's wondering what we're going to do with it. And so we're visiting to give that to them. And they're going to come this week, but I need some of our men to get in on the blessing, and let's get it down by this back door over here at the fellowship hall. And then they're going to come. I'm going to call them. They're going to come pick it up, and we are going to bless them. So I tell you what we're going to do when we close. When I finish praying, if y'all will, please help us do that. Some of it's kind of big. It may take two people, but it won't take but a minute. I already kept you 12:31. Two more minutes ain't going to hurt your belly. Some of you can live off the land for a while anyway. Tell you what I want to do. I want to bless that church first. Let's bless them. Will you? Father, I pray that you would bless that Hispanic ministry. Lord, we're not in competition. We can't even speak that language. So how could we be in competition? Lord, don't let us be selfish. But Lord, I pray you would bless that ministry. Lord, that Dollar General is not big enough. Lord, that you would just increase them. Lord, the pastor there is a godly man, loves the Lord. Lord, I pray that you would anoint him, Lord, to speak the word of God. Lord, to open up the heavens, Lord, for his people that you've called him to. Lord, I bless them. Lord, we want to bless them physically with some things that we have. And so, Lord, I take what we have here, Lord, you blessed us with, because I remember not so long ago, God, some 13, 14 years ago, me and Donnie Miller went up in Plainview, Arkansas and got some of the stuff we're going to give. So, Lord, I pray we just keep blessing. Lord, we've used it and it blessed us, and now we're going to bless others with it, Lord. Lord, let us be a conduit of blessings. Let us be a conduit of blessing, Lord. Father, I thank you for that ministry. Lord, I pray for my people, the people you put me in charge of. Oh, God, I pray you bless them. I pray your face would shine upon them. That, Lord, they'd find faith with God and with man. That increase and prosperity and job promotions and raises would come their way. Lord, you would blanket every rooftop with peace. That when we lay down today, that we find spiritual rest and physical rest to our bodies. And we ask this in the mighty and wonderful name of Jesus. And everyone says, amen and amen. Hey, please, men, don't forget to help me up there real quick. Won't take but a minute. Glory to God.